A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Daf Yud Gimel, Yevamos 13a, pagination is 25. Last two lines on the page, it's the middle of a Mishnah at the end of a line. We dealt until this point with a certain premise, which is the opinion of Beis Hillel, that when you have co-wives in the application of Yibum, the entire group gets judged together, and if one of the co-wives is forbidden to the living brother, then they all become absolved of Yibum, and he will not marry or do chalitza with any of them. That concept of litzrar, of joining all the wives into a bundle, and if one of them is forbidden, then the concept of Yibum does not apply, is the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, however, says, Matirin hatzoros la'achim. The tzoros would be permitted to the brothers, and even if a brother is related to one of the wives, the tzora, the co-wife, would be permitted to him. Uveis Hillel osrim. But Beis Hillel, as we've said until now, forbids that and says that the prohibition of Eshes Ach, the wife of your brother, remains on such a woman because she's absolved of Yibum because one of her co-wives was such a close relative to you. The Mishnah continues on Amud Beis, Choltzu, what happens if they decided to do Chalitza? So we're going to simply follow the logic. Beis Shammai post limina kuhuna. Beis Shammai say the chalitza, that rejection ceremony, takes effect. It does something, and it therefore invalidates her from kuhuna, from marrying a kohen, as described in the beginning of Parshas Emor, that a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalutza, a woman with whom this rejection ceremony was done. Uveis Hillel machshirim, but Beis Hillel said that all you did was put on a play, you put on a skit. It's total make-believe, because there's no validity to the chalitza. You went through the motions, but she did not require chalitza, because she was automatically absolved, because one of her co-wives was so closely related to you. Nisyavmu, now it gets tough. What happens if one of the brothers, living brother, who has a relative in the group of co-wives, goes and does Yibum with the other co-wife that was not related to him, wasn't his daughter, wasn't his mother. He found one of the co-wives that he would do Yibum with. Beis Shammai machshir, and Beis Shammai say that union is great. It's Yibum. It's a mitzvah. Uveis Hillel poslim. And Beis Hillel say that union was forbidden because there was no application of Yibum because she was absolved, and now you went and lived with her. That's Eshes Ach, the wife of your brother, Shalo b'makom Yibum, without the mitzvah of Yibum. So what the Mishnah is displaying for us is that there was a tremendous divergent way of looking at such a presentation, where one of the co-wives is so closely related to the living brother, to the point that according to Beis Hillel, it's forbidden and it's producing mamzerim, it's a chayve krisus, it's an example of a high-level immoral relationship, and according to Beis Shammai, who do not group the co-wives together, such a union is a mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah of Yibum with the one of the co-wives that is eligible to you. Says the Mishnah, Afapisha Elu Osrim ve'elu matirim, Elu poslim ve'elu machshirim, even though one considered it a high-level prohibition and one considered it a permitted act, Lo nimnu beis shammai milisash noshim mibeis hillel, lo beis hillel mibeis shammai. The house of Hillel and the house of Shammai continued to do shiduchim, matches one with the other. And Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara, lefi shahayu modiim lahem, because they had the courtesy to keep track of which unions were forbidden according to the other opinion, and they would not trick, they would not provide an improper union to somebody who held it was forbidden. And since they were courteous one with the other, shidduchim generally were able to continue between the families, but obviously the actual unions that were considered forbidden by one or the other would in fact remain forbidden for those who had those respective opinions. The Gemara takes a few lines to strongly object to this way of doing business, if you will, and then resolves it. The objection is that you're not allowed to do agudos agudos. You're not allowed to cause such separation within the Jewish people, where each group is holding its own version of Torah. On the contrary, we, in the time of a Sanhedrin, would go to the high court and have the question ruled upon. And in other circumstances, we should find common ground and rule according to majority or whatever other forces are brought to bear to maintain unity in the Jewish people. Take a look towards the bottom of the page, about five lines down from where the wide lines begin. At the end of a line, lo sis godedu. We learn from a pasuk in the beginning of the 14th chapter in Devarim, lo sasu agudos agudos, you're not allowed to make mini groups in the Jewish people, each one doing their own thing, because it gives the impression and eventually could develop into a different Torah, so to speak. Asks the Gemara, Hailo siskodudu miboy leili gufei. There's something else that we learn from that pasuk. To Amar Rachmana lo sasu chabura al meis. You shouldn't damage yourself upon the loss of a close relative. And the Gemara says that the word lo siskodudu has extra letters so that you could learn them both out. What are the two limudim that we're learning out from this pasuk? So again, one is lo siskodedu. You should not stab yourself upon the loss of a close relative, as if to say this is so painful that I'll start stabbing myself. That's how painful. Illustrate like life is not worth living, so to speak. And the other is lo sasu agudos agudos. Don't spread yourselves out into different groups. So if we analyze the pasuk, and I saw this mentioned by Reb Aryeh Kaplan in the Reb Aryeh Kaplan Reader, page 218, these two concepts are very, very similar. What you have is something that occurred that causes you a lot of pain, and because of that great pain or concern, you're willing to do something very drastic. The Torah says, don't do that drastic thing, because as the pasuk there says, Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, your children of Hashem. So let's do this methodically. You have something very painful. God protect us. Person lost a close relative. So painful, he thinks, that life's not worth living. I'm going to stab myself. That's how terrible this is. We're being told, don't stab yourself. Because no matter how bad the loss is, you must recognize, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, you're still children of Hashem. There's still so much to live for, despite the fact that we'll acknowledge you suffered a terrible loss. But that doesn't mean stab yourself. That's going too far. It's losing perspective. Likewise, let's take this a step further. A person has something that's bothering him. He has an opinion. He went through the sugya, the topic in the Gemara, or for some other reason. He just that's the shul I don't daven in. He just rubbed the wrong way. He's terribly offended. So we're being told, lo sasu agudos agudos, that a person should not put himself in a position where whatever the wrong, whatever the pain is, that he goes and stabs something even more important, and that is his connection with the Jewish people. It's so important to him that he's stepping aside and starting his own way, so to speak. In the words of Rabbi Kaplan, just as it is forbidden to mutilate the body, meaning even though you got a tremendous pain, so it is prohibited to mutilate the body of Judaism by dividing it into factions. And again, even though you're in tremendous pain, you truly believe that your way is the right way. Nevertheless, Lo Siskodudu teaches us, don't create this schism either in your body or in the body of the Jewish people, in the collective Nishmas Yisrael. So we have a problem that's presented here. How could it be that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai took their argument so far that literally they were keeping track of who we're not allowed to marry? They were maintaining two different, very divergent viewpoints in the Jewish people. And the Gemara on the next page says that technically this is actually permitted. Amar Abaye, about a quarter of the way down on Yudalit Amar Aleph 14a, Ki amrinan lo siskodudu kogon shtei batei dinim be'ir achas. If you have two courts in one city, so in one city, that's a problem, because the city will be divided. A few lines later, Amar Rava, Rava says, a little bit differently, Ki amrinan lo siskodudu kogon bezdin be'ir achas. If you have one court in one city, and they're actually dividing what until now was a unified front, that's what we object to by Lo Siskodudu. But definitely it is possible for different cities to have different customs and different rulings, even though we recommend that they take it to the high court, as the Pasuk describes, and unify. But until that's done, it could indeed be that there are two divergent approaches within the Jewish people. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.